Turn in your Bibles to the epistle of Paul to Timothy, his first epistle, 1 Timothy chapter 3. We're going to read just three verses, 14 to 16. Hear now the inspired word of God. I am writing these things to you, hoping to come to you before long. But in case I am delayed, I write so that you will know how one ought to conduct himself in the household of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and support of the truth. By common confession, great is the mystery of godliness. He who was revealed in the flesh was vindicated in the spirit, seen by angels, proclaimed among the nations, believed on in the world, taken up in glory. Amen. Let's pray. Father, once again, we come before you and we would ask, as we always do, just very simply, that you would be pleased to bless the preaching. And that, Father, that it would accomplish your purpose, just as you promised it would not return void, but it would accomplish every purpose for which you send it. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Well, today we have two events taking place in the life of our church that are significant. We have already received seven new members as we stood and recited the church covenant together. And by the way, that covenant is nothing more than a summary of what the Bible says that we have to do and our obligations to each other as church members. At the end of the sermon, we're going to install a new church officer. Chris McDowell will enter into the diaconate of Hope Reformed Baptist Church. Now, why do we take special note of these things? Why do we make them a part of our Sunday worship service? It's not merely tradition, but there are biblical reasons why we have such traditions as these. We do them to be obedient to the Word of God. But I will also tell you that the emphasis we place on membership here and the care in calling church officers is rather unique to Reformed churches and other conservative and like-minded churches. Many churches today have no membership. And their view of deacons and elders is far different from ours. I'm not going to get into what it is, but it's just far different than ours. Let me leave it at that. Why is this so? And does it matter? Well, to answer those questions and to clarify in your mind the doctrine of the church, I'm going to preach a special message this morning. And I titled it, What is a Reformed Baptist Church? That's an extremely important question. It's an important question because the term Reformed Baptist does not just indicate another, quote, denomination, unquote. For example, when we meet at conferences and always say, well, he's Presbyterian, he's a Methodist, she's Episcopalian, I'm a Reformed Baptist. That would be inaccurate at best. This church is called a Reformed Baptist Church for some very specific reasons. And to be a member of a Reformed Baptist Church says something about you. In fact, it says something about who you are and what you believe. It says something about how you live your life, or at least how you have committed to live your life. You see, the Bible is not silent about the duties and obligations of church membership. And the designation Reformed Baptist addresses what the Bible mandates. Now, some of you have been in this church since its inception, almost 22 years ago now. Some of you have come at various times in the life of our church. And others are fairly new. We have seven people who are brand new in membership today. Some of you are not members. Some of you maybe are just visiting this morning. But this message is for everyone. Not just the members, but for everyone who was here this morning. See, those who have been members need to be reminded of the great doctrines that this church is built upon. We are a forgetful people. And we do need constant reminders. So, you may have heard some of these things before, but it's worth repeating. And if you're new to this church, or even if you're just visiting, it will clarify what the Bible says about the Church of Jesus Christ. So we're taking a break from our study in John just for one Sunday. And it is my prayer that this message will challenge everyone who's here to become more biblical in our thinking and more obedient in our living. But before we answer the main question, what is a Reformed Baptist Church? We need to reacquaint ourselves with the priority the church receives in Scripture. You see, the church in Scripture is described in several different ways. It's called the temple of God. It's called His household. The church is in covenant with God, so we are His covenant people. We're also called His children. But perhaps no designation explains the intimacy of Christ and His church more than the designation that the church is His body. Ephesians 1, verses 22 and 23. And He put all things in subjection under His feet and gave Him as head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills all in all. Now notice, the Holy Spirit uses the symbolism of a human form that shows Christ is the head and the church is His body. The church is intimately involved with Christ in a way that is inseparable. The relationship is a unique one. We are said to be in union with Christ. We are one with Christ, and hence the designation of He being the head and us being the body. But we also see in Scripture that Christ loves His church. One of the purposes, and listen carefully, one of the purposes of the marriage relationship is that it is to be a picture of the relationship of Christ and His church. Ephesians 5:25. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself up for her. Paul exhorts husbands to be lovers of their wives in like manner to Christ loving His church. And let me just pause here for a second. Your marriage says something about Christ and His church, whether you intended to or not, because it is a picture. So the question you need to ask yourself is not, am I representing Christ and His church, but how am I representing Christ and His church? This is important. I stress this when I do my premarital counseling. You are a picture of Christ and His church. And that's what Ephesians 5 is all about. Yeah, it talks about husbands and wives, but the main point is that it's a picture of Christ and His church. Christ loves His church so much that He died for her. The church is His body. And Paul, in the same section, exhorting husbands to love their wives, quotes Genesis 2:24, and then gives the explanation. Again, Ephesians 29 to 32. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church, because we are members of His body. And then listen carefully, for this cause a man shall leave his father and mother and shall cleave to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is great, but I am speaking with reference to Christ and the church. So Christ loves the church. Third, the church has been given a mission to accomplish. And it is through the church that God will accomplish His purpose and plan on this earth. Therefore, Christ Himself promises to build His church and to keep it strong. Matthew 16:18, after the great confession of Peter, Jesus says, "And I say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not overpower it." That's one of the strongest statements you can find in the Bible anywhere. The church of Jesus Christ will be built by Him, and no power of evil can stop it. That's what He says. That promise guarantees that the church will be successful in the mission that God has ordained for it. Paul also says in Ephesians 3, verse 10, talking about the role of the church, he says, "In order that the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known through the church. To who? To the rulers and the authorities in the heavenly places. The church is entrusted with the wisdom of God, the truth of God's word. And then we read this morning, describing the church, Paul says to Timothy, which is the church, the church of the living God, the pillar and support of truth. The church is called the very pillar and the support of truth. And so for these reasons, the church is given all authority necessary to carry out its function. Matthew 18 again. Truly I say, verse 18, truly I say to you, whatever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again, I say to you that if two of you agree on earth on anything that they may ask, it shall be done them by my Father who is in heaven. Great authority is given to the church. So you can see why the church is given such prominence in, Scripture. It has been charged, now listen carefully, it has been charged with the most important mission on earth. No other group of people has ever been given a commission to make disciples of all the nations. And the church is going to continue right into eternity. At the end of time, Christ will return and gather all of his church together, dead in Christ first, then we who are alive. And we will always be with him. But the scripture also tells us that the universal church is organized into local congregations. The apostles were sent out to organize the church in every city that they went to. They established congregations according to very precise structure in Scripture. Elders and deacons were appointed to be servant leaders in the image of Christ. Notice Christ didn't appoint dictators or autocrats to lead his church. He chose the title pastor, which means shepherd. And deacons, who are ministers of mercy, also servant leaders. But there is no question from Scripture that every Christian is expected to be a part of a local congregation. There's no such thing as Lone Ranger Christians. That's not in the Scriptures. The direct commands of the New Testament and all of its language show that the church is essential for every Christian. We are all linked to parts of the body in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. For even as the body is one, and yet has many members, and all the members of the body, though they are many, are one body, so also is Christ. So we see the church is given great priority in the Word of God, because it is part of the whole universal church and is charged with the greatest commission in history. So it's important then that the local church be taken seriously. So with that in mind, then let's get back to the question I asked at the beginning. What is a Reformed Baptist church? I'm going to give you a list of things. First, it's a doctrinal church. Since the church is the pillar and support of truth, it only stands to reason that a church should be concerned about doctrine and truth. Now, that's not the prevailing attitude in our society today. Today, unity and love have been the deciding factors to the sacrifice of truth. That's not the message of Scripture. Jesus said in his prayer for unity in John chapter 17, he says, sanctify them in the truth. Thy word is truth. In Scripture, love and unity are always in the context of truth, never at its expense. So a Reformed Baptist church is one that puts a high priority on the truth of God's word. We hold to the theology that is rooted in Scripture and was recaptured in the Reformation of the 16th century. We hold to a confession of faith that was written in the 17th century by men who were laboring diligently to be true to the Scripture in all matters of doctrine. The hallmark of Reformed theology is summarized in those five solas. We've been going through those in the Sunday school hour. Faith alone, grace alone, Christ alone, Scripture alone, and of course, to the glory of God alone. A Reformed Baptist church believes that those who receive the sign of the new covenant are those who repent of their sin and profess with their mouth that Jesus is Lord. Those are they who rightly are immersed in the waters of baptism. It is those baptized members who properly come to the Lord's table in the communion of the saints. So a Reformed Baptist church places a high priority on doctrine and the truth of God's word, and we do so unashamedly. Second, a Reformed Baptist church is a God-centered church. In our society, the church in general has been reduced to a self-help agency. The teaching is more akin to positive thinking and pulling yourself up by your own bootstraps. You can have your best life now. Doesn't look anything like sinners in the hands of an angry God. You will even hear such ungodly things such as this within the church. You'll hear, man is the master of his own destiny, the captain of his soul. This thinking is pervasive, even if it's not overtly stated. Of course, the underlying principle of salvation is man-centered. Man has a free will. God is powerless to save him unless man cooperates with God. That's what we're told. The great doctrines of grace that have been nicknamed Calvinism create immediate controversy. In fact, it was interesting. I was working here late last night, about 10 o'clock, there's a knock on the door. The door in the hallway, that's supposed to be locked out there, but somebody came in. It was two young men from another church, and they were inviting me to attend a pastor's leadership conference. So I start to ask them questions. What about this doctrine? We don't really touch that. I said, have you ever heard of the doctrines? They call them Calvinism. Are you familiar with that? Oh, we don't touch that. I don't think I'm going to that conference. Immediate controversy. That's the most obvious manifestation of a man-centered church. When they say doctrine leads to controversy. We have Christian leaders and seminary professors teaching that the Word of God is not sufficient to handle all of life's problems. They tell us, well, you know, the Bible was written in much simpler times. The Bible writers didn't have the benefit of our modern research. So counseling is relegated to psychologists. Creationism is given way to theistic evolution because, after all, the scientists have a lot of credentials after their names. But a Reformed Baptist church recognizes that the very purpose for man's existence is to glorify God. And that his redemption, while conferring great benefit upon man, is ultimately designed to give glory to God. Anything does not begin and end with a proper view of God is inherently faulty. And so a Reformed Baptist church revolves around God as he revealed himself in his word. A Reformed Baptist church teaches that we must imitate Christ when he said his food is to do the will of his Father. And so a Reformed Baptist church acknowledges God's sovereignty over all things, including the salvation of mankind. But his sovereignty reaches to every aspect of life. Third, a Reformed Baptist church is a worshiping church. See, man was created to worship God. Now, the fall has made pleasing worship impossible. But John MacArthur said this so well, and he wrote a book on worship. And he said this, that man is saved for the express purpose of worshiping God. The fact that he is saved from eternal punishment is an added benefit. Jesus said in John chapter 4 to the woman by the well, an hour is coming and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For such people the Father seeks to be his worshipers. God is spirit and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. Therefore, following our previous point, worship in a Reformed Baptist church is designed to please God. A Reformed Baptist church holds to the regulative principle of worship, which simply means that the only things we do in this service are the things which are expressly commanded by the Word of God. This worship service, by the way, is not designed to please you. It's not designed to please me. It's designed to please God. Fourth, a Reformed Baptist church is a Sabbath-keeping church. See, Reformed Baptists recognize that the Sabbath command was not given just to Israel. It was instituted at creation by God Himself for all men of all times. It is a day that is set aside for the worship, for resting in the Lord. And the Christian Sabbath is an important day in the life of a Reformed Baptist church. The Reformed Baptist view of the Sabbath is put forth so beautifully in Scripture. Isaiah chapter 58. Verse 13. If because of the Sabbath, you turn your foot from doing your own pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy day of the Lord honorable, and shall honor it, desisting from your own ways, from seeking your own pleasure, and speaking your own word, then you will take delight in the Lord, and I will make you ride on the heights of the earth, and I will feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. The Sabbath is a day of delight for the Christian. He doesn't try to find ways around the command. He looks for ways to delight in it. That's the mark of a Reformed Baptist church. Fifth, a Reformed Baptist church is a praying church. If we follow the life of Christ in Scripture, we see that He was a man of prayer. You ever notice that whenever the disciples couldn't find Jesus, where'd they find Him? Alone, praying. When He cast the money changers out of the temple, how did He describe the dwelling place of God? Matthew 21. He said to them, it is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you are making it a robber's den. Jesus is quoting Isaiah 56. And of course, in the New Covenant, the church is the household of God. It is the church that is His temple. And as we follow the development of the church in the New Testament, we find the church was steeped in prayer. So a Reformed Baptist church, by definition, has to be a praying church. Sixth, Reformed Baptist church is a disciplined church. You know, it's amazing how quickly people rebel against the term discipline today. Yet the very concept of the church is meaningless without discipline. Matthew 28, the Great Commission. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. To be a follower of Christ is to be His disciple. By definition, that means a life of discipline. That's where the word comes from. As a Christian, all right, this might be something new to all of you. So hold on to your hats. As a Christian, there are certain things you can't do. Conversely, there are certain things you must do. It's a life of discipline. Following Christ means denying yourself. Following Christ means looking out for the interests of others before yourself. By being a disciple of Christ, means you may be disciplined when you do wrong. Hebrews 12:6, for those whom the Lord loves, He disciplines, and He scourges every son whom He receives. And you may be disciplined by the church as well. But even in a general sense, God is a God of order, and the command to be disciplined in every area of life. Self-control is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. So a Reformed Baptist church, again, by definition, has to be a disciplined church. Seventh, a Reformed Baptist church is a committed church. First, of course, it's committed to Christ as its head. Second, the members are committed to each other. That's why we just stood together. Why didn't I just have the new members stand and recite that covenant, other than they would be embarrassed? Because we are covenanting together. We are one body, and this is our relationship to one another. That's why we read that covenant. Now that commitment must first be shown by becoming a member. We've already seen how important it is for every Christian to be a part of a local church. If you're not part of a local church, then you're a piece missing someplace. We're all parts of the body, whether it be a hand, a foot, whatever. A part of the body is not functioning properly because one of the members has withdrawn. Then, of course, the commitment is shown by all those one anothering passages. Love one another, encourage one another, edify one another. And sometimes by rebuking and correcting one another, but always in love. Eighth, a Reformed Baptist church is a loving church. First, that love is shown to Christ, but you can't love Christ without loving his church. That's an impossibility. The church is his body. Christ loves the church and died for her. The church is in union with Christ. Listen again to the prayer of Christ in John 17. Listen to what he says. Verse 20. I do not ask in behalf of these alone. Remember, he's just prayed for his disciples. I do not ask in behalf of these alone, but for those also who believe in me through their word. Now listen to what his prayer is. He's talking about us now. That they may all be one. Even as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that they also may be in us. That the world may believe that thou didst send me. And the glory which thou hast given me, I have given to them, that they may be one just as we are one. I in them, thou in me, that they may be perfected in unity, that the world may know that thou didst send me and did love them even as thou did love me. Wow. That's a prayer for unity. But do you remember what it was based upon? Sanctify them in truth. John says in his epistle, 1st Epistle chapter 4, Beloved, let us love one another. For love is from God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. The one that does not love does not know God. For God is love. And he continues in 1 John 4, in verse 20. If someone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he's a liar. For the one who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this is the commandment we have from him, that the one who loves God should love his brother also. And this love for one another is a test of our true discipleship. In John 13:34, he says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you love one another. And then listen carefully, verse 35, by this all men will know you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Ninth, a Reformed Baptist church is an obedient church. Love is manifested by being obedient to the commandments. You cannot say that I love Christ and walk in complete disobedience. 1 John 2:4. The one who says I have come to know him and does not keep his commandments is a liar and the truth is not in him. And even as we saw earlier that obedience to the Sabbath command is a delight for a Christian, so is obedience to all his commandments. In 1 John 5. Verse 2, by this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and observe his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. Jesus said in John 14:15, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Tenth, a Reformed Baptist church is an evangelistic church. A Reformed Baptist church is a church that takes the commandments of Christ to spread the gospel to all the nations very seriously. We've read this over and over again, but we can't read the Great Commission too often. All authority has been given to me in heaven on earth, Jesus said. All authority. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Jesus told his disciples to pray that the Lord of the harvest would send laborers into the field because it was white unto harvest. Jesus had a compassion for the lost. The desire to evangelize comes from a heart that follows that compassion of Christ. And then lastly, a Reformed Baptist church is a practical church. You see, the heart that has been changed, when God changes a heart, that heart will demonstrate that change in outward actions. You see, the church is not content to dwell in a theological ivy tower. It is not content to engage in the philosophical and economic reasons why the poor people why do we have poor people in a land of plenty? A Reformed Baptist church feeds the poor, clothes the naked, and then gives them the gospel. It's not enough to give them good wishes. It's not enough to drive by the people who are starving and say, "I'll pray for you." Oh, do that. Just don't drive by and do it. James says in chapter 2, "If a brother or sister is without clothing and in need of daily food, and one of you says to them, 'Go in peace, be warm, be filled,' and yet you do not give them what is necessary for the body, what use is that?" See, a Reformed Baptist church is one that recognizes that all of everyday life comes under the lordship of Jesus Christ. Let me sum this up. A Reformed Baptist church is a biblical church. What is our response? First, I want to address the members of Hope Reformed Baptist Church. And we always need to, we need to constantly review. How do we stand up to this description of a biblical church? We will only come close to this description if all of us take seriously our duties and responsibilities to study, to know the truth, to make God the priority in your life, to make worship a priority in your family, to keep the Sabbath day holy, to commit to prayer, to be disciplined in every area of your life, to be committed to the work of God here at Hope as well as in your home and on your job. Ask yourself, how are you using the gifts that God has given you in the context of this church? This is the body that He has brought you to. We need to be more loving in a biblical way, to be obedient to all the commands of Scripture, to reach out to the lost with the same heart of compassion that Jesus Christ had, to practice these things in every area of your lives. That's what the Lord of the church requires of you. That's why we recite that church covenant. Read that church covenant over. Don't just recite those words. I have to tell you that you have, as your elder, I can't tell you how pleased I am to see the efforts that so many of you are putting forth. Many of you are involved in caring for the needy in our community. Many are going out to the streets to preach the gospel. Many of you are getting up Saturday mornings early, even in the coldest weather, and pleading with women not to abort their babies. In short, many of you are working out your faith in biblical ways. And it's my job as a pastor not just to put forth and beat you over the head when you're failing, which I am to do that too, but to encourage you all when you're doing well. And I am pleased at the efforts, but we can do more. It's not enough. We can do more. To the non-members, if you're here just visiting with us today, I pray that this message has been an encouragement to you. If you're attending another church, and that's your church, your home church, become a vibrant, active member of that church, seeking to advance the kingdom where God has called you. But if you're here and you're not a member of any church, I would encourage you to join. I'm not saying you got to join Hope, but you should join and commit to a local church. If you do belong here, then you should make the commitment to join, and you can more fully advance the kingdom of God in the context of this church. A commitment to membership is important, both to the individual and to the member, and to the membership. As a pastor, I am admonished in Hebrews 13:17 that I must someday stand and give an account for your soul. How do I know who that is? It's those who commit to membership. I know that I must now stand and give account for your soul. Oh yeah, the verse also says you're supposed to obey me. To me, that's secondary. It frightens me to death that I have to stand. And I take that very seriously. That's why I push membership. I want to know, am I responsible for your soul? As we conclude, one last point. A Reformed Baptist church is always reforming. No church has it all together. And that's one of the reasons we need everyone God has ordained to be here, to be active in the life of the church. We have been given the greatest mandate ever given to any people in the history of the world. You all know that I'm a big Winston Churchill fan. I love Winston Churchill, especially in his war days. And if you ever read or hear any of his speeches, they are rousing speeches. And he rallied England to fight. Jesus' call to us is greater by far. We are called to make disciples of all the nations. We need to remember that not everyone is called to the same functions. But that's why we need everybody. I'd like to just say one word to those here today who may not know Christ. Do you see the need for reformation in your life? Joining a church will never save you. Even joining a good Reformed Baptist church is not going to save you. If you have seen the need in your life for complete reformation, repent of your sin. Call on the name of Jesus Christ and be saved. Then join the church and use the gifts God has given you to reach others. So what is a Reformed Baptist church? It's a church that seeks to bring reformation. It's a church which seeks to bring reformation truth to this nation. It's a church that seeks to bring reformation truth to the lives of individuals. It's a church that seeks to glorify God in all things. And it's a church that believes that in all things, Christ is preeminent. May God give us the grace that we need to always be reforming and striving to be more obedient servants of Him, to be more faithful. Let's pray. Father, we bow before You and we are so thankful for this church that You've given to us here, Father, and even as the unworthy one You have called to be an elder in this church, I thank You for the flock that You have called together here. Bless them, Father. I pray, Father, for anyone here who doesn't know You, that today would be the day of salvation. Take away their stony heart, give them a heart of flesh. Father, for those here today who may not be a member of a church, Father, I would pray that You would exhort them, convict their hearts that they need to make a commitment to a local church. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.